Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're in the middle of a program right here in Santa Clara, California. This is your host, Yusuf Estes. We're talking on the subject of inviting people to Islam. And we want to pick up where we left off. We were talking about the subject of Tawheed. Tawheed from the word Wahid, one, the monotheism of Islam. Knowing that God is one, He's not two, not three, not 99, even though He has 99 attributes, but He is one. One God. He has no partners. There's nobody helping Him, nobody influencing Him, and nobody doing any intercession with Him except by what? His permission. So, how do I approach somebody and begin to engage them in the subject of Tawheed? They said, well, we already believe in God. You hear that a lot, by the way, even the Hindus. We already believe in God. God's one. Really. We're just going through something to get to Him. Some of them, they believe they got a holy man, and they pray through their holy man to get to the Lord. Some, they've got a lucky charm. I got a funny one for you. Here I am in India, right? They sent a Hindu to pick me up at the hotel to take me over to the deal, the big conference. Man, by the way, believe it or not, Dr. Zakir Naik, he got 40,000 people at one of those conferences. I never saw so many people in all my life. 40,000. He couldn't, there was no place to sit. They were just all over the place out there. It was great. In any case, they sent this driver in a little car, and they picked me up. When I got in the car, he had a statue about 6-8 inches tall right there on top of the dashboard in front of the steering wheel. And their steering wheel is on the wrong side. It's over on the right side. But that's okay. They drive on the wrong side of the road, so that makes up for it. Anyway, when I got in there, I slammed the door, and his little statue started wiggling, you know, moving around. And I looked at that. I said, what is that? He said, that's his God. I said, God of what? He said, God of traveling. I said, is God of traveling, huh? Well, I see him moving around. You better get him a seatbelt. So he picked it up with a lot of effort, and I heard a ripping noise, and I realized what it was. He had Velcro holding it up there. So he said, I don't need to. I got this Velcro, he means, holding it. So along the way, something happened. I slammed the door again or whatever, and it started wiggling again. I said, I really wish you put a seatbelt on your God. I'm trying to make him think, how safe is this God when you got to put Velcro on him? You're trying to take care of your God. Why don't you let your God take care of you? You remember what Ibrahim alayhi salam did? Remember when he destroyed all those statues? Except one, the great big one. You remember? And he left the mallet. Tell these stories to the people, man. This is what they eat up. They love these stories. And you tell them about when Ibrahim alayhi salam broke all the statues in the temple, but the one biggest one, and he left the mallet. Mallet is a big hammer, you know, like sledgehammer. He left it right over there by the big one. And he left. And when the people came back to their temple, they said, oh, look, oh, my God, look what's happened. Somebody destroyed all our gods. Somebody said, go get the statue maker's son. We heard him complaining about our gods. They went and got Ibrahim, alayhi salam. They brought him in there and said, look at this. He said, oh, wow, wow, look what happened. I'm giving you Texas translation again, right? They said, well, what do you say about this? He said, why are you asking me? He's the one with the hammer. Ask him. And look what they said. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to what they said. They said, they, meaning those gods, he said that God cannot hear us, nor can he speak. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, then why do you worship him? And they were almost guided. Look at that. You shake them up and ask them, if your God that you pray to needs you to create it, needs you to nourish it, to care for it, then how is it a God? How do you need it? The Christians have this in their book, by the way. If you want to look it up in the Bible, I'll tell you where it is. It's in the Old Testament, book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, first few verses. Read it. It says, to them, do not be like the polytheists. Don't be like the pagans. They use the word pagan, polytheists, pagans. People that associate partners with God in worship. He says, don't be like that. Don't cut the tree. Don't carry it on your back and take it in your house and decorate your house with it. Huh? Huh? It cannot benefit nor can it harm you. And who is the law calling them to believe in? Him. I'm the one who can benefit you or harm you. Allah. And who was he talking about? He was talking about the Celtics and the Druids. That's their religion. They're tree worshipers. They're pantheists. They put God in everything, but especially nature and for sure in the trees. And their God was named Woden. And our word for the product of a tree today is wood, coming from the name of that God, Woden. And people say, knock on wood. That's exactly what they mean. Good luck coming to me from the God of Woden. How many of you knew that? No? Whoa. Spend a little less time with the TV and the video games. Really. Read the Quran a little bit more. Think about what Allah is telling us in the story. Right after, in Surah Baqarah, right after the Ayatul Kursi, there's an explanation of deen in here. It's very beautiful. The ayah before Ayatul Kursi, and which is 254, 255, 256, and 257. Read all of that. That's in context. Don't read it out of context. When you hear La Ikraha Fideen, that is out of context. You have to read all of this to understand what La Ikraha Fideen means. It does not mean I don't have to if I don't want to. That is not the meaning of it, okay? But after that comes the new argument, and it starts out, have you not considered Haji Ibrahim? And the argument, the dispute, ikhtilaf, between him and the king, which was Nimrud. Nimrud was telling people he's God, he's the Lord, the Rabbil Alameen. And Abraham's telling him, nuh-uh. And he said, my Lord is the one who gives life and gives death. So Nimrud brought some people and he killed some and let some go. He said, I give life and I give death too. How you like that? So Ibrahim said, well, my Lord is the one who causes the sun to come up in the east. Why don't you make it come up in the west? And thus does Allah bash these disbelievers. I'm emphasizing this because when the people hear these examples, well, Allah, it makes a difference to them. They can understand better. Because what is it that Islam is all about? It's submission to Allah totally, completely, and entering into it perfectly. Make sure you understand that. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi sulmi qatatan. Enter into Islam perfectly. And don't play the game of saying, La ikraha fi deen, I don't have to if I don't want to. That is not perfectly entering the deen. Okay, you got something written down here that said requirements. First requirement to call people to Islam is you have to be a Muslim. You figured that one out though, right? That wasn't too hard. But that means you really have to be following Islam. Not partially. Really following Islam. And when we say that, I don't know. I don't want to be under the spotlight. If somebody came with a real spotlight that could expose everything about you, I don't want it on me. I'm positive I don't want it on me. I don't know about you. I don't want it on me. I hope I'm in Islam enough that Allah will accept it. So I'm not going to look at you and say, well, I don't think you're in or blah, 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 or you got this or you got that. I'm just saying, you know where you need to be with Islam and Allah. Do your best to get there. Does it make sense? Don't let me stand here and tell you how long your miswak has to be, all right? But do your best to get as close to Allah as you can every day. That's good habit for you anyhow. I didn't give you any bad advice. But immediately after that, now you go and start calling the people. And what do I need to call the people? What is it I'm calling them to? Allah. So you got to tell them about Allah. Now I gave you some comparisons between tagut, false gods, and iman in Allah. But what about Allah himself? And here's some questions for that one. Somebody comes to you, atheist, come to you and said, oh, you believe in God, huh? Yeah. So can God do anything? What are you going to tell them? Can God do anything? You guys are hesitating. You don't trust me, do you? I don't know what to say. You're right, actually. But somebody said, yeah, God can do anything. Well, can he make a rock so big nothing can move it? Sure, he can do that. Even he can't move it? He could move it. Oh, then he can't make a rock so big nothing can move it. Whoa, how did I get into this? That question, I used to think that was something new because I heard it as a Christian about 40 years ago. And it really upset me when I heard it because I was thinking, whoa. Because they were trying to say that that proves there's no God. That little scenario we just went through. But I found that question in a book, a translation of a book that was over 2,000 years old, that the Greeks used to have atheists who tried to play that game with each other. Can God make a rock so big nothing can move it? And you say yes. Even he can't move it. Now you're stuck. Because if you say he can't move it, oh, there's something he can't do. But if he can move it, then that's something else he can't do. He can't make a rock so big nothing can move it. It becomes like a oxymoron. It's like, you know, duh. You're stuck. And they use that to say, well, why should I believe in a God and you can't even believe in it? Huh? But it's only in Islam that I found the correct and total answer. And when I shared with the Christians, they love this. Because some of them have had that question they don't know how to deal with. First of all, in Islam, we have an understanding about Allah. For us, we say, Allahu ala kulli shayin qadir, which means, what? Allah can do anything, right? Wrong. You're giving the wrong translation to that. Allah has the power to do what He wills. There's a difference between that and God can do anything. Allah can do what He wills to do. He has the power to do whatever He wills to do. Because the next question they could ask you, this is another simple one. You believe in God? Can He do anything? Yeah? Huh? Can He die? Now what? You're stuck again. Can He lie? A'udhu billah. Cheat? A'udhu billah. Make dhulam on the people? No, he swore he wouldn't do that. Can He be a man, walk on the earth? I heard a Muslim answer that one wrong. Because he was saying, yeah, God could do anything. The Christian was baiting him. Christian is asking him, can God do anything? He goes, yeah. Don't you think God could do whatever He wants to? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Couldn't He be a man if He wanted to? Yeah. Couldn't He walk on the earth and save the people? Yeah, yeah, He could do that. Could He be on the cross? No, wait a minute. That dowel was going the wrong way in a hurry, wasn't it? What does it say in the Quran about this? A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. What did you notice in this surah, one of the shortest surahs in the Quran? Called Surah Al-Ikhlas. What did you notice about this? That was a repetition of a word that was mentioned twice in here. What was it? Huh? Ahad. What does that word mean? No. Who said unique? How many of you think it means unique? What, did you change your mind? Then raise your hand. Unique. Because Wahid is one. Ahad is another way to say one, but there's no two going to come after that one, is it? Yeah? Okay. So we have that. Then we have, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Laysa kamithlihi shay'in wa huwa samiun basir. There is nothing compares to Allah. There isn't anything like Allah. And He is all hearing and all seeing. Yes or no? Now, somebody, and I don't want to mention who, but it's right here in this area, famous on television, went out and said that this was a contradictory ayah. I heard it in Washington, D.C. I freaked out. I said, what are you talking about? The Quran has absolutely nothing contradictory in it. But they said, well, you see, in the first part, he said Allah doesn't compare to anything. Then he turned around and compared himself to the creation by saying hearing and seeing. I don't care how much Arabic you know. I don't care how much Quran you memorize. That is not the meaning. Allah did not compare himself to the creation, because then it would be true that you're saying there's a contradiction in Quran. A'udhu billah. But Allah is all hearing and all seeing, and there's nothing in creation that's all hearing and all seeing, is there? How far can you see? Huh? On the horizon out here, you can see about 20 miles. Tops. And Allah can see the whole entire universe, front and back, inside and outside, all at once, all the time. So that is not like any seeing we have. Hearing, same way. We can hear a little bit of frequencies. But there's a lot below we can't hear. Dogs can hear it. A lot above that we can't hear that birds can hear. And a whole lot more that's all over the whole universe that none of us are ever going to hear. So we can't compare Allah's hearing and seeing to our hearing and seeing. So he didn't compare himself to the creation. That verse does not cancel itself out. I want to make sure I made that point, because I know that that particular teaching was out here in this community at one time. But I don't know if it is now. In any case, and I want to come back now to the main thing. We're calling the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're calling them to this unique oneness. How do I answer the question about the rock? Ready? Because we don't put Allah in the creation to start with. We don't have that problem. Where's Allah? Anybody know? Where is Allah? How many? Ooh, ouch. Ah. How many said everywhere? Everywhere. Don't be shy. Put your hand up there so you can all get it at once. A'udhu billah, sister. Hu alladhi khalaqa samawati wal ard fi sita ayyum thumma istawa 'alal arsh. Where'd you get this everywhere? That's Hindu. That's pantheism. Don't get upset with me. This solves our problems. Get Allah out of the creation. Now, is his hearing everywhere? We just said yes. His hearing is, his sight is, his knowledge is, his love is, and I love that part. That's something we leave out too much. The Christians like to hit on that one. He is our wadud. His love is right next to you, man. If you want to be loved, Allah's there for your love, but he's not there physically. That's the point. We're not saying Allah is like the creation and putting him in it. But definitely we know he's as close to you as your jugular vein. In his what? Compassion. Yes. Mercy. Yeah. Forgiveness. Yeah. Love. All the good stuff. But we don't put Allah in the creation, because if you did, you got a problem. But by having Allah not in his creation, greater than his creation, that's what we say Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? That's called the verse of the what? Verse, translate it, the verse of the? How many of you said throne? That kursi is chair. Throne is arsh. They ask Rasulullah, is that the throne of Allah? He said no. So already, don't say it. Just because Yusuf Ali says something doesn't make it right. It's the verse of the chair only. Because he said the kursi of Allah, which is huge, by the way. It's much bigger than the universe. But it's so small compared to the throne of Allah. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said it is like the comparison of throwing a ring into the desert. A ring. You got a ring? Let's get in a helicopter, fly over the Sahara Desert, drop it out of there. Tomorrow, go to Cairo, get you some camels, and walk back out there and try to find it. I want you to think how huge is the difference between the kursi of Allah and the throne of Allah. And Allah is mighty and above that. Wow. Wahu al-Ali al-Adim. So we don't compare Allah to the creation. He's not in it. But He has power over it. He has total power over it all the time. Now, can Allah create a rock so big nothing can move it? Yes, absolutely. Even Allah can't move it. Excuse me. We were talking about the creation. Whatever's created is in the creation, right? Therefore, Allah is not in the creation, so that's a moot point. Allah can always cause things to happen, but He doesn't move things like we do. He doesn't go get a lever and a fulcrum and energy and go, oh man, I can't move that thing, it's too heavy. Allah is not Superman. He doesn't compare to any kind of man. Allah is Allah. Is that true or false? Everybody with me? Okay. So we say that Allah, now read this in translation, Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir, Allah is having the power to do what He wills to do, but He never wills to do anything that would no longer, that He'd no longer be Allah. Got me? Want to say it again? Allah can do what He wills to do. He has the power. But He never wills to do anything which will make Him no longer be Allah. How we know Allah is by His attributes. We know at least 99 of His many attributes. He has more than that. One of His attributes, though, is Adil. He's fair. Another attribute, Rahman, Rahim. Compassionate, merciful, beneficent. Yeah? Rahmah. So would He ever do anything that was not being Rahmah? Would He do dhulm? No, because He can't oppress. He'd never oppress. True? Allah is al-haq. So if they say, well, could He lie? No, because He's the absolute truth. So He never will be something that will counter that. Now this solves problems for them. For you, it was easy. You figured it out. As soon as you said, yeah, that's not what I meant anyway. But for them, they're stuck in some of these things. And by the way, your children are going to be stuck in it too if you got them in public school. Because that's one of the key places they get all this. The other place is the television. If you can keep your children away from television in public school, you can do a lot for them. But if you're putting them in those two places, then you're definitely going to have to offset that by a lot of time with the Quran and Aqidah, and spending time in Salah and bringing them up here to the masjid. Now, I'm very serious about that. Very, very serious about this. It's not a game. So that's your first da'wah. I'm going to wrap it up with this. First and foremost, to give da'wah, you have to be a Muslim. And that is something that's ongoing. All of us are working on it every day. Nobody's a perfect Muslim. In fact, we're not even close. Okay? Not even close. But we're trying. We really are trying. So that's what we're working on personally. That's the first da'wah, is to myself. Second da'wah is to my family. And it's not the kind of da'wah where I go to them and go, stuck for Allah. Stuck for Allah. Allah said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because it's not condescending. Let me share a hadith with you that shook me up. It shook me up really bad when I looked at myself in Islam for the past almost 15 years. And one of the sahabi, one of the young sahabi that was with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, waiting on him, taking care of the Prophet ﷺ for about the same amount of time I've been Muslim. He said in the whole entire time, the Prophet ﷺ never found fault with him or blamed him once. Huh? Huh? I can't go through the day without doing that. So, you know, why'd you do this? How come you did? Man, if you hadn't done this, so-and-so wouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. That's blaming. And Rasul ﷺ never did that. So it's not in the manhaj or the methodology of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to criticize people and put them down. That is not right. Got it? Everybody with me? Because of the interest of time, we're going to wrap up here pretty quick. What I want to do now basically is this. I want to give a summary of what I said and then set this for the next part of the da'wah workshop. Then I want to open it for some discussion, inshallah. If you'd like. First of all, what we said was that in the da'wah is invitation. Invitation to what? It's only to Allah. And it has to be on Allah's way. So the da'wah itself has to be a part of your Islam. Therefore, it is not something you can make up today to suit yourself or your conditions today. It has to be in accordance with the Sharia. Which I'm sure you would do that anyway. I'm just letting you know this is like a rule. It's not something that's open out here. Like food, you can do almost anything with the food. No pork, no wine, stuff like that. But food is pretty much, you know what you want to do. You want it hot? Make it hot. Who cares? I won't eat it. But the point is, the dawah is not like that. You have to follow certain things. And it takes time. And you're going to learn. Second thing we talked about, and this is important, is to consider who you're talking to. And most of the people we're talking to are Christians. And we were only told to call them to one thing, the Tawheed. After that, bring them to the masjid and let the sheikh tell them everything. Really. I talk to people and give them shahada through the internet all the time, and there isn't anybody in their area. New Zealand, Australia, places like this, Fargo, North Dakota. And there's nobody close to them that's Muslim. I tell them, okay, I'll put you in phone contact with some people. Make shahada over the phone. But when you get more questions, like just this morning, somebody sent a question to me. They already made shahada, alhamdulillah, but now they're starting to ask questions. I said, that's a fiqh question. Go to islamqa.com and read all the stuff they got over there and read for yourself. And then if you get stuck, come back and I'll help you try to understand what they said. But that's not what we're for. I'm not out here to tell you how long your dress has to be. I'm serious. That is not aqidah. And I'll argue with you all day long. That is not the main issue here. It's a piece of cloth. Even when sisters don't wear hijab, which none of us like that. But that doesn't mean she's not a Muslim. And even if a brother shaves his face off, doesn't mean he's not a Muslim. And even if he doesn't pray 5 times a day, if he prayed 4 times but he's felt bad about it, that doesn't mean he's not a Muslim anymore. It means he's disobedient. He needs to work on himself. But don't be throwing people out of Islam like throwing the water out when you're through with the dishes. That's not our job. I want to encourage myself and you, all of you and us, we're brothers and sisters. I want to encourage us to do more good stuff for Allah. So if I see a mistake in you, I should encourage you to do good stuff. وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And you should encourage me the same way, by the way. Without hurting my feelings, then I shouldn't hurt your feelings. Because that's very, very important. It's never scratch the dignity. Don't hurt the heart of the Muslim. Don't do that. Okay. And then finally, one of the things that I think is very important for us to say is to work together. You have a beautiful community here. I'm not praising you just for the sake of hearing myself say it. I came back here because I like this community. I have some special friends here, and I hope now I got even more special friends here. I mean it. I love all of you for the sake of Allah. And I never talk about relocating anywhere, but if I did relocate on this coast, I think I know exactly where I want to live. I'm serious. You've got some very wonderful brothers and sisters right here. And so why not spend your time with each other? Why not come together for this great call of da'wah? Why not be together with this project? You got the Y Islam out here, you got ICNA, you got Discover Islam, you got so many good things. Why not hang out together? I'm serious, it's much better for you, your family, your children, than going out to some of these other things. If you find yourself out here with non-Muslims and you're not giving dawah, they're giving dawah to the dunya. That's what's really happening. So invite them to come over here. Have open houses, have cultural night. Have an open buffet night, you know, Islamic food. We're going to have Arabic food, Pakistani food, whatever. Invite these people to come out. If you do have Pakistani food, be sure to bring a fire extinguisher. But let